Genesis 15. We are in the middle of summer vacations, and a lot of the choir is going to be coming and going. We have 19 in Nova Scotia. Many of them are teenagers. And so we are excited about that which the Lord is doing. I will admit, as a pastor, it's always hard to come to summer and realize how many of our church family are going to be away. You definitely find it difficult to kind of get a rhythm of moving forward. But we're here tonight, and you're here tonight. And I pray that God will bless as we open His Word. Genesis 15. This will be our last Sunday in this chapter. And I'm going to ask you to follow with me as I begin reading at verse 1. And I've titled the message, God's Enduring Promises. We've been looking at things that are mentioned first in the Bible. And we have so far looked at seven firsts. The first one occurs in verse 1. And we read in verse 1, and after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I, thy shield. And I would invite you to notice in verse 1, it's the first time the word of the Lord is mentioned. It's also the first time that we read the Lord revealing Himself as I, and then revealing Himself as I'm your shield. I am your protector. Not only that, I am thy exceeding great reward, or literally, I am your rewarder. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house, this servant, is this Eleazar, is of Damascus. That is, the only heir that I have is a man that's not even my son. Verse 3, and Abram said, Behold to me, thou hast given no seed, no son, no heir. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto Abram, saying, This shall not be thine heir. Eleazar shall not be your heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. That is, the seed of your body will be your heir, a son. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Now this is the Lord bringing him abroad, and he says, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, or that is the number of the stars, if I be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. You know, I believe that's not only the physical inheritors of Abram, that is, those are literal physical descendants, but I believe it's people of faith as well. That those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have placed our faith in the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He that is the God of Israel. And continue with me now. Verse 6. And of Abram it is said, here's the first mention of faith. He believed, Abram believed, in the Lord. And the Lord counted it, the word for justification, it for righteousness. The first mention of righteousness, that right standing with God. Verse 7, and he said, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And I'm going to skip down because of the signs that are used here. And I'm going to go to verse 13. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land. Now that's the first mention of Israel going into captivity. The word stranger is the word for foreigner. So Abram, the seed of thy body, your lineage, will become strangers or foreigners in a land that is not theirs. We know that was fulfilled when Israel went down into Egypt. And shall serve them, that is, serve those in the land in which there will be strangers. And they shall afflict them 400 years. We know that was very literally fulfilled. Israel went down, and Jacob and his 12 sons went down into Egypt. They were there 400 years, and then God delivered them out of servitude. Verse 14, And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. We know that was fulfilled. Israel goes back out of the land of Egypt, and we read that the Egyptians heaped upon them silver and gold. And so as they were leaving, they became a wealthy people, even though they had been slaves. Verse 15, And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And so I guess if I was going to really theme the night, I would say growing old gracefully. And with that said, let's pray. Father, I pray that in the few minutes that we have tonight, that you would bless your word. We all have one thing in common here tonight. We're all alive and we're all growing older. And yet we realize that as we look at the life of Abraham, we see a reason in his life that was one that was filled with promises to keep hope alive. And as we come tonight, we are bearers also of promises. The promise and the hope of life eternal in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight, as we spend a few minutes in your word, that you would encourage us in the promises that we find here and in the example that we find with Abraham. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Look with me, if you would, at verse 15. Verse 15, we read these words, Abraham, thou shalt go. Literally, you're going to enter in, you're going to abide, you're going to go to thy fathers. Now, where were his fathers? His fathers were all what? They're all dead. But those who were men of faith were with the Lord. And so Abraham, it is not a statement of judgment, even though we know that we shall all die for the wages of sin is death. But what we do know tonight by the reading of this is that Abraham was promised, Abraham, it is not that you're merely going to die and be buried. No, Abraham, you're going to go to thy fathers. How many of you have loved ones that you know died in faith? That is, they knew the Lord and you have that confidence of their testimony. How many of you could say that? Wow, look at this tonight. Let me say this to you tonight. For all of us that just raised our hands, and we have loved ones that are on the other side, they are with the Lord. It can be said of you, you will die, but you will go to your loved ones. Now somebody would say tonight, well, let's not rush it, preacher. You know? Let's continue. Look with me then, if you would, at this. We've already seen the promises. Abram, I'm going to give you the land. But Abram, your family is not going to possess it in your lifetime. In fact, Abram, your lineage is going to be taken out of this land that I'm going to give them, and they are going to be servants of a foreign people, the Egyptians we know from the Scriptures, for 400 years. And so, Abram, there are promises that I'm going to give you you're not going to see in your lifetime. But my promises are sure. Now look again at verse 15, and I just want to break it down for a moment. Abraham, first of all, you're going to die, and you're going to go to your father. I think when I read that verse there, I think about David. Do you remember when David's son, born to Bathsheba, do you remember when that little one died? And the servants in David's household had watched him weep and cry out to the Lord. While that son was living, David had a hope that that son would be spared death. But we know that the testimony of the Lord was, David, the consequences of your sin will be that that child born of Bathsheba will die. And so the servants, having watched him weep and the sorrow that was upon his heart, when they deliver the news, David, your son is dead, David's response was that which was totally foreign to them. They thought for sure this man that had been weeping over an ailing and very sick son, for sure, now that he learns that he's dead, he's going to wail with sorrow. But that's not what the Bible says. Let me read to you what the Bible says. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. But now he, David says, when he was arising and going to sit down and he was going to eat, but now he is dead, wherefore should I fast any more? Can I bring him back again? And the answer was no. And then David says this, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. You know, for us who die in Christ, our hope is to be with the Lord. But it is also to be with our loved ones who have gone before. You know, I'm looking forward, and I don't want to rush it either, but I know of my lineage, as I've gone back and I've looked at my lineage, I know that there are men and women in my lineage who died 100, 200 years before I did, but the testimony of their life was that they knew and they loved the Lord. I have some in my lineage that left France to escape the persecution that was there. They arrived on these shores, they shipwrecked off the land of South Carolina, and somehow they made their way up through a little county that I grew up in called Lancaster County. I tell you that because as I found the tombstones of some of my ancestors, I read upon it some of them were actually preachers. Get this, Baptist preachers. You know, I've got a day I'm looking forward to meeting that godly lineage that I've never known. Now, go back with me again. I want you to look. We're staying in verse 15 tonight, pretty much. Verse 15. And Abram, thou shalt go to thy fathers. And then two words. What are the two words? In shalom. In peace. In a sense of completeness and fulfillment. Abram, you will go to be with your fathers, and you will go in peace. You know, I've been at the bedside of many loved ones who have passed away here over my 32 years here. And some of them are humorous moments. And some of them are inspiring moments. I'll give you just a couple that come to mind. I've shared with you Georgia Fanning. I can remember her being in the old University Community Hospital. It's Florida Hospital today. Some of you might remember, and some of you might have visited her there. Went up to visit her, I think it was the second or the third floor. And my wife and I, we arrived there. We left our children down in the lobby. We knew that she was dying and probably would die that day. And we went in, and we greeted her. And I can still remember her. She was lying back on the bed. And instead of a word of greeting, she says, "Where are the children?" Well, children are where I left them. They're down. She said, I want to see the children. Do you remember that? So we had to go back down, bring our children up, standing at the bedside of this woman who was dying. She had very little in life, but she always remembered our children with a birthday card. And I think, was it $5 that she would put in that birthday card? She hardly had anything. But you know, my children remember to this day that she sent them and remembered their birthdays and put a $5 bill in there. So it's not much, but it was the fact that someone loved them enough to remember. You know, the pastor's kids, that means a lot. It really does. They're often overlooked. But she, I can remember her staying there, telling each one of us goodbye. My wife and I left there and thinking, wow, now that woman's dying like a queen. Huh? She was ready. She was ready. Irma Smith. Now that was a homegoing. Irma was, she was a personality. Now we've got a few personalities still at Hillsdale, but she was a personality. And I remember visiting her in the nursing home and she was dying. And you know, she was ready. There was another one I'm trying to think of. She used to live behind the church. I should have wrote her name down. Ruth Arnett. How many of you remember Ruth Arnett? Godly saint. Wow. That woman loved the Lord. Lived in a little tiny house. I remember you could sit in the living room. You could see through the kitchen right into the dining room. And it was a tiny little place. She had, I think, a one-bedroom little house. But she always had somebody staying with her. Always. It was like whoever was the forgotten, the forsaken, and the stray somehow ended up in Ruth Arnett's house. She loved. I remember she would walk the aisle so frequently in those last years of her life. But when she died in faith. Verse 15. Abram, thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. And then another word we'll see there in verse 15, and thou shalt be buried. You're going to be honored. He would live to be 175 years old, and he would be honored in death. Now, a couple of truths The first universal truth is you will die. Unless the Lord comes back in your lifetime, you will die. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this to judgment. Psalm 90, I think it's verse 12, teaches to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Universal truth. What Abram is told here, verse 15, thou shalt go to thy fathers, is true of the saints. But you know what? Those who die without Christ, their destiny is not heaven. And with the saints, their destiny is separation from God and hell. Abram, you will go to your father. But look again at that verse there. In peace. Let me read to you a verse. Psalm 37 and verse 37. I don't know if they can look that up. Psalm 37 and verse 37. The psalmist writes, mark or observe or watch the perfect man, the upright, the blameless man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Shalom. Happy. I remember being at my grandmother's bedside, and I know many of you have heard this many times, but traveling home to visit with her, knowing she was dying, and rushed into the nursing home. They had moved her into a room. She was all by herself now, except for family. I remember going into down the hallway, and my family sitting in the hallway, and my grandmother in the little room there. And when we walked in the door, Sheila probably remembers, my family met me and they said, she's waiting on you. She had held on. She was waiting for me. She knew that I was driving. I was going to arrive there. And I remember sitting at her bedside, and Sheila, I think, was with me a little bit. And then she stepped out. It was just the two of us. And she said, Travis Dean, she says, it's okay. I'm ready. My grandfather had died just the week before. And then she said to me, late at night, she says, now, you need to go home and get some rest. You're going to have a busy week. And she was talking about her funeral. And I went home, and I bet 4:30 or so that morning, we got the phone call. Grandma's with the Lord. You know what's interesting about her death? She was in bed. There was a clock on the wall there. She had her children around her. And she looks at the clock, and I think it was 4:30. She looked at the clock and said, well, it's 4:30. And she died. I always found that so striking. You're passing into eternity. Why do you care that it's 4:30? It was almost like, it's done. You know, I've had a lot of saints over the years tell me, I'm ready. I don't know why the Lord's leaving me here. I'm ready. I want to give you three things tonight, and I'll close. Three enduring promises that I'm calling this here. The first is a promise of an inheritance. And I'm using that because Abraham had something to live for. Notice, if you would, with me again, Genesis 15 and verse 7. Verse 7, and he said unto him, I am the Lord. I'm the one that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. The land, the expectation, the hope, God's promise. Abram, it's a land that you're never going to have as far as occupying it in your lifetime. But Abram, I'm giving it to you. It's your possession. But he also gave him the promise of an heir. Look with me, if you would, at verse 4. Genesis 15 and verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this Eleazar shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And I've already reviewed with you the promises, verse 4 and through 5. Look up into the stars of heaven. Let those stars that are in heaven be a testimony to you, Abram. So will your seed be. Now, three enduring promises. Here we go. The first is this, an enduring pleasure. Or, I'm going to say, joy. Two things, Abram, I'm going to give you. The first is this. I'm going to give you a quantity of years. Look with me at verse 15 again. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Let me think. Run some thoughts by you. What is the attitude of the world about the elderly? And you know, more and more the attitude of the world about the elderly is, you know what? You've lived a good life. You're taking up space. You've had your run. That's really becoming the attitude. I have heard doctors tell a patient, well, you've had a good life. Well, I might have had a good life, but I've still got a good life, you know? You're not playing God in my life if I've got anything to do with it. But this here, as we read this, a good old age. But that's the attitude of the world. You know, that you've lived your life. But there's another attitude that I sometimes see among the elderly. And those elderly can become mean and cantankerous. How many of you have ever known a mean, cantankerous old man or old woman? All right? Some of you that aren't raising your hand, you ought to raise your hand. No, I won't say that. But there's a terrible attitude that creeps in when we lose hope. We forget God's promises. And life becomes empty. I want you to look at a couple of verses. What do the elderly fear? Take your Bible. Turn with me. Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Just a couple of verses here to look at. Psalm 71. Now, if you're waiting on those guys, I'm going to make them wait so that you have to turn in your Bible tonight. So Psalm 71. I'm going to look at two verses there. Psalm 71. And I want you to look at verse 9. Verse 9. Here's the fear of the elderly. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. One of the things that breaks my heart is to go into nursing homes, and I do it frequently. And to find in those nursing homes elderly people that are forgotten. I walk in the door of some nursing homes, they know me. They haven't a clue who the sons or daughters are of that elderly person. And I think that's a tragedy, don't you? Look at the verse again. Here's a fear of an elderly person. Cast me not off the time of my old age, and forsake me not when my strength faileth. Think about that. Remember me when I'm old. I appreciated this morning Mrs. Bradshaw was here. She's turning, 83 this year, I think. If she's listening and I got that wrong, I am going to be in big trouble. But she's frail. I love the fact that many of you loved on her today. She invested 30 years of her life here. And she should be honored. Amen? Look at another verse, Psalm 71. Look at verse 18. Here's another fear that we can consider. Verse 18. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. I love that verse. Lord, I'm old and I'm gray-headed. Don't forsake me. Verse 18. Until I've showed thy strength unto this generation, thy power to everyone that is to come. Is that not something to live for? Lord, let my life be a testimony of your power and a testimony of your grace. How much time? I got a little bit more time. Let me take you to another thought. What should the attitude of believers be? Okay? We've looked at the attitude of the world, the attitude of the elderly. But I want you to consider the attitude of believers. You have a verse in front of you there. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. It's on your notes there, I believe. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he writes these words, "But I would, or I desire, or I wish not that you would be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," that is, those who have died in Christ, that you sorrow not, that you're not grieving nor overcome with distress, even as others which have no hope. Who's the contrast there? The ones who have no hope are the ones who died without Christ. But Paul's writing, and he's saying to that first generation church, I know that those that you love, that you worship with, I know that many of them are dead now. But don't sorrow and weep like those who have no hope. Don't be distressed, for they are, again, looking at this here, they are, verse 13, they are asleep. Now, I want to give you a couple other verses. Turn in your Bible, Psalm 92. And I'm not going to tell them the verse until you have turned. So turn there real fast. What kind of attitude should believers have about growing old? I've been picking at my wife in the last week. And I don't know that it's bothered her, but I've really had a good time picking at her. And I've been saying, we're getting ready to celebrate our 40th anniversary in July 24th. And I've been saying I'm 50 years old. So that means that she married me when I was 10. You know what I'm saying, all right? And so I've been saying I'm 50. She says, why do you keep saying that? You're not 50 years old. I said, well, I'm going to have that attitude. I'm 50 years old. Look with me just for a moment. Psalm 92, and look at verse 14. Psalm 92, verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. That is evidencing God's grace. And then for some of you that are so inspired, they shall be fat. The word fat is the idea of being full of sap. All right? It's like a tree that is healthy and a tree that is strong and a tree that is still bearing fruit. It is full of sap. I realize this could have some comical applications, but we're not here to do that tonight. And the latter part of that verse, and flourishing, literally the verse for evergreen. What is the word fat? It means to be satisfying. And then the word there, flourishing, it means to have a vigorous outlook. My wife and I have been inspired recently. We have gone back to the gym. We're pumping iron, you know? And we're huffing and we're puffing. But I've learned enough being in nursing homes that I'm not going to have them stand over me as long as I can fight. You know what I'm saying? I think the attitude of God's people as we grow older, looking at that verse, that in our old age, our life should evidence God's grace and the fruits of the Spirit. We shouldn't be old and we shouldn't be cantankerous. We should be serving and we should be faithful. Amen? And then for those that are so inclined, here's another verse. Turn and look with me at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. And here's another verse of inspiration. Not only should God's saints as they grow older be full of sap, but notice also, if you would, in verse, Proverbs 16, 31. That's where I want to go. Verse 31. They should not only have a hoary head, which means gray. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, some of you have a theme song in life. I'm going to wash that gray right out of my hair. And I'd say just keep washing. That's all right. But the thing that we all need as we're growing older is the last word that we find here. If it be found in the way of righteousness. You know, you can be old, gray-headed, and godly. Or you can be old, gray-headed, and an old codger that no one wants anything to do with. The choice is yours. But a lot of it has to do with our attitude. Now, that was simple, right? What did Abraham have as he grew old? Good old age. But there's another thing I want you to look at as well. He also not only had the quantity of years, but I want you to notice he had the quality of years. I whispered this to my wife. Go back to Genesis 15. And let's go back to verse 15. Genesis 15 and verse 15. Here we go. And thou, Abram, thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Now, what does good old age mean? probably most of us think, well, it means to be good and old. No. You know what the word good there means? It means that idea of festive, happy, pleasure, or pleasant. Look it up. So it's not you're just in a good old codger, but it is that you are a pleasant, happy, joyful, you are a pleasure to be with. I try to imagine this week, do they still do Lamaze classes? Do you know what that is? You know, natural childbirth, they used to call it Lamaze. I have a graduate certificate of that class, by the way. It didn't do us much good, but I was in the class and I brought the pillow. I was the bearer of the pillow for childbirth. I try to imagine Abraham and Sarah walking into a natural childbirth class. You know, he was knocking on the door of 100. She was knocking on the door of 90 years old. Can you imagine those two showing up? She's great with child, and everybody else is looking like, you have got to be kidding me. Here's my point. As Abram was growing old, he not only had the pleasure and the joy of old age, he had the quantity of life, but he also had a quality of life. Imagine being 92 and chasing a child going through terrible twos. I used to hear people talk about, the nice thing about being a grandparent is that you can play with them, spoil them, feed them sugar, and then you send them home, you know? And I've kind of learned that a little bit with Juliana. She's turning, what, 7 now. She's 7. And wow, it's amazing how much they wear you out as they get older because they're so full of life and energy. Abraham, when you're 100 years old, your wife's going to have a baby. Just think about that. You talk about pleasure and joy. The promise. Notice, if you would, two more things and we'll close tonight. Notice again in verse 15, not only do we have good old age, but we also have the word peace. I don't have time to camp out on this other than to go back and read, "Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace." I love the thought though. It means that you die, you can be confident of this in your old age, that God is sovereign and His peace and His promises never fail, and God's peace will be with you. Rest in His promises. Rest in His grace. And then thirdly, and I need to close tonight, notice again with me, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age." I want to invite you to take your Bible, and we'll close with this passage, 1 Corinthians 15. Would you turn there with me? 1 Corinthians 15, we've been studying this, touching upon it several times, but I wanted to close with it tonight, beginning at verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 19 and reading through verse 22. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But there is hope," verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and He's become only the first of many, the first fruits of them that slept." All those who raised their hand and you said, you know, on the other side, my loved ones are there. I have a father there. I have a grandfather, a grandmother, a mother is there. Maybe it's a sister, or I have a brother that is there. And they are with the Lord. And I have a hope that my neighbors don't have. For my hope is in this: Jesus Christ is risen. Verse 20 now, or verse 21. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Couple of thoughts. You and I are going to live somewhere for eternity. And the question is not only how we live, but the question is also how we will die. the righteous man dies in peace. Shalom. Satisfied. You know, wouldn't it be great to come to the end of our life and look back on the years, and instead of having years that are just filled with regret, we look at our lives and we see God's grace. We come to the end of that journey confident in the Lord. I close tonight by asking you, where will you spend eternity? Those who die in Christ die in peace. I'm afraid that the drugs that are used today and the hours of death mask the reality of the souls that die in Christ and the souls that die apart from Christ. If you read a little bit of the history, you will read of sinners that go out into eternity screaming. Some confessing that they feel the very flames of hell as they pass through death. I think the drugs today mask that reality. I also think that the drugs sometimes rob the saints of sharing God's grace. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be drugs used for pain, but I am saying that there is a peace that no drug can give you, and that's the peace in Christ. Amen? Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask our deacons if they could make their way up here as we close in prayer tonight and we'll observe the Lord's table together. Our Father, we bow before You tonight and our hearts are filled with joy. I thank You so much for the joys of this life, the joy of a wife and the joy of family and children, the joy of grandchildren, the joy of a church family that we love and we fellowship with. We sing with them. We worship. Lord, we are blessed. Thank You so much for hope. Lord, we're all growing older. And yet I pray that we would tonight, as we've seen in the example and the testimony of Abraham, that it would be Your promises that would sustain us, Your promises that give us hope and joy. Lord, may we face eternity with the confidence and the hope that belongs to those saints in Christ. Now, Lord, there might be someone here tonight that doesn't know You as Savior. And we would encourage them tonight that the salvation is not by good works, it's not by membership, it is by grace through faith. That unmerited favor, that love, that forgiveness that You extend to us through Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we share this table tonight as believers, that we would reflect on and that we would remember that the bread that we're going to share is a testimony of Your body and the suffering and the resurrection of that body from the grave. Lord, as we take the cup, we remember it is a portrait or a symbol of Your blood that was shed for our sins. And for we know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So, Lord, we come tonight then to the table, rejoicing in the hope of not only a Savior who was crucified, but one who is risen. Lord, bless now as we share this time together. In Christ's name, amen.